Hello, everyone, and welcome back to License to Talk Insurance, a podcast for independent insurance agents. I am your host, Amanda Yanis, and I am the Director of Marketing at Chicagoland SIA.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Conklin Ramsey, your other host for this podcast, and I am the Director of Digital Strategy.
Can you believe this is our 20th episode?
No, I feel like it was just yesterday, Amanda, when you approached me with the idea, and it was very nerve-wracking. And now we're on our 20th episode, and it's just another thing on the checklist. It's really fun. I don't get nervous anymore. And I feel like it's just a good time for us to sit down and to have a good candid conversation about what's going on in the industry.
Well, to celebrate, we actually have a guest with us today, Tammy Nelson. Tammy is the personal lines manager at Chicagoland SIA. She has over 30 years of experience in the insurance industry and is honestly one of the most knowledgeable people I know when it comes to all things personal lines, from coverages, underwriting guidelines, to which carriers have higher hit ratios for what kinds of risks. So we're very excited to have Tammy here sharing her knowledge and insights. You want to say hello, Tammy?
Hello, everyone.
Right, so we do have some prepared questions for Tammy so that we can make the most of her time with us today. First up, Tammy, could you tell us what factors are considered in the underwriting of personal lines insurance policies?
Right now, credit score is a very big factor in the underwriting industry, along with claims history and driving records.
And how are insurers assessing risk for different types of policies and applicants?
Right now, they are really looking at the age of roofs right now. Some companies don't want to write a risk with a roof that's over 10 years old. We have some companies that won't write a risk when the roof is 15 years old. They are putting extra underwriting guidelines on the material of the roofs, which is if your roof is wood shake, shingled roof. So they are very looking into the material and age of roofs right now to determine if the home will fit into their program.
So Tammy, what do you see as the most significant trend or trends, plural, shaping the future of personal lines insurance?
One of the major trends right now I see in the insurance industry is insurance companies putting a minimum $2,500 deductible for roof coverage and or a percentage deductible regarding roof coverage. This is due to all the recent claims that insurance companies had to pay out on roofs for like tornadoes and hail damage. That is one trend that I foresee in the future that will stay. Another trend is looking into people's credit score. That is a trend that will stay along with your driving history, your driving record.
I know when talking about personal auto for a second, a lot of companies are coming out with telematics programs, and I know some offer a discount for participating in the program. Do you foresee telematics continuing to be a trend in personal auto?
Yes, that is one discount that the insured can get on their auto policy. And what that is some companies, it's a little device you put in your car, and some companies, it's an app you download on your cell phone. And what it does is regulate how many miles you drive a day, how fast you're stopping and going. Basically, it regulates your driving habits. So if you got an outstanding driver and you got good driving habits, you can get a discount on your auto policy.
Well, that's pretty cool. So it's sort of like personalizing your auto policy for your driving habits.
Correct. They're actually going to reward people that have excellent driving habits.
I think that's a really interesting way that the industry is trending, especially as I was just reading this article about selling insurance to millennials and the Gen Z population, since they are both on the rise. And I think this is a really interesting thing to bring to the table, especially for this population of people, because I think when you're looking at targeting millennials and Gen Zs, they really want something that's more personalized to them. And telematics and all of this data can really help them, can help insurers kind of tailor some of these plans a little bit more towards these audiences. So as an agent, this is a really good thing that you should be talking about with your potential clients. And that kind of leads me into my next question, Tammy. How can agents adapt to these changes better to serve their clients or even their prospective clients?
Education. Educating your current customers and then educating, you know, prospects, letting them know what kind of discounts are out there for home and auto, educating them on the value of your home versus what you can purchase your home for or sell your home for is different than what you can you actually insure your home for. A lot of people, let's say they bought a home for $500,000, but in the insurance industry, they're saying that their home is worth $750,000. Agents need to educate their clients on it's not what you can sell your home for or what you purchase your home for, but it would be what you could totally rebuild your home for in today's market with labor costs, building supplies, and that. So that is one thing that clients have a hard time focusing on because they're like, well, I can't sell my home for that. And an agent should really educate clients regarding the replacement value of your home.
I totally agree, Tammy. In fact, a large part of what I do at Conklin Insurance Agency is create blog topics aimed at educating our clients, because we believe that an educated client is just overall a better client.
Correct.
And I think right now, I know that we just used this example about your home, Tammy, but this home market across the entire United States has just been, home values have been skyrocketing, especially in specific areas. I know we're here in the Chicago suburbs and home values have been going up like crazy. And I think a lot of people have been surprised recently by their premiums going up and the rates going up. But if your home value is going up, then of course, your premium is going to also follow suit, because if something happens to your home and your home is valued X amount more than what it was 2 years ago when you purchased the home, of course, you're going to need more money for replacement costs and things like that. And it ultimately, yes, it's more money for the consumer to be spending, but it really is to ensure that they are able to rebuild their home if in case if something happens to it, right? So it's really being that risk manager for your client and positioning some of these conversations that way, I think will go a long way with your client base.
Yes. And also educating your clients. Let's face it, everybody, they just see the cost, the premiums of things. So they try to cut back on things, and educating your clients that, you know, they'll say, well, sewer backup's costing me $150, but let's educate your client that, gosh forbid, if any, you know, you have a sump pump failure, that $150 premium is going to pay for if you got a $10,000 loss. And also educating your clients on the importance of having the proper liability limits for both home and auto versus just having the state minimum limits. And I'll use auto as an example. State liability limits is $25,000 per person, $50,000 per accident, and then a property damage of $50,000. Let's face it, most cars now, they're around the $50,000 range. So let's say you get in the accident and you're at fault and you hit somebody's Tesla that could be $75,000, but you only have state liability limits of $50,000, you're responsible for that other $25,000 that it's not going to cover. So really educating your clients on the importance of having the proper liability limits as well.
And that doesn't even get into what we've seen going on with medical costs. Heaven forbid somebody is injured in an accident that you were at fault for. Medical costs have just been going up and up and up. And those state minimum amounts, they're not going to cover it.
No, and a lot of states now, and Illinois is one of them, that they don't require. It used to be a requirement that you had to carry med pay on your auto policy, but now some states are not even requiring you carry med pay on an auto policy.
That's just insane to me. Like, why would you not want to have protection against
Correct.
accidentally injuring somebody? Which brings up another thing. Underinsured or uninsured motorists, we are, I believe, seeing trends that are being reported where there are more uninsured drivers or underinsured drivers out there because of these premium hikes that we've seen. So having sufficient underinsured or uninsured coverage on your policy, should somebody else hit you and they don't have adequate insurance, you're going to want to be covered there as well.
Correct. And that's why your uninsured liability limits should always match your actual liability limits on your policy. And my rule of thumb is 100, 300, 100 should be the very least liability limits that you should carry on your auto policy.
As an insurance agent, being able to educate your clients on what their insurance actually covers, what trends we're seeing with drivers, what trends we're seeing with costs of things, being able to educate the client on those things so that they can make the decision to be properly insured is vital.
Correct. It is. Because most people don't think about insurance or what the coverages are or what the coverages mean. And that's why it's very important for the agent to educate these people on why it's important to have these coverages on your policy.
We want clients to have the peace of mind that they know that in that situation that there is an accident or something happens to your home that they are covered. And that's why it's so important as insurance agents that you are that trusted advisor for your clients and that you've sat down and had those conversations up front, no matter how hard they are, right? Sometimes those conversations aren't the easiest. But it's so important to be direct and to be open and to make sure that your clients really fully understand what would happen given a specific type of incident to ensure that they're covered.
Also, as an insurance agent, if you don't have that conversation with your client and they get in an accident and their coverage is not sufficient, or they have something happen at their home that they're not got sufficient coverage for, they're not going to be like, "Well, that was my own fault for not knowing that I should have had the coverage." No, they're going to come at you and they're going to say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you prepare me?"
Exactly. And that's when most clients, that's when they realize, obviously, that they don't have adequate coverage is in the event of a loss.
And guess what? A client that is blaming you for their lack of coverage isn't going to be your client for very long.
No. No.
So, Tammy, what steps can insurance agents take to help applicants improve their insurability and ultimately obtain more favorable underwriting decisions?
Steps that agents can take is on if they're a current client of yours and they're you get their home or auto renewal, agents really should be looking at their coverages at renewal and reach out to your clients when you get their renewal in. And if they notice that, hey, they don't have water backup coverage right now or service line coverage on their home, reach out to your client and explain what these coverages are, and tell them how important it is to have these coverages. Or when they get the auto renewal in, and discuss with your clients about possibly raising deductibles on your car. And that may, you know, due to this market that we are in, you should really talk to your clients about only turn in big claims, not small claims, because claims go against you. And then if you're talking to a prospect, explain to them the importance of these coverages and what deductibles are.
And also, I feel like agents have a duty almost to explain to their clients how to get discounts through such things as telematics or having a safe driving record. Anything that you can go and say, well, you've been with this carrier, and if you're with them for another year and you're accident-free, you're going to be put into their gold plan or their platinum plan, and sort of giving them some hope of the future where, hey, you keep doing what you're doing, we might see some discounts, or you can do this and we can get this discount applied. Because with premiums going up, everyone wants to shop their insurance, and they don't understand the long-term benefits, maybe. Not all carriers have them, but many carriers do have long-term benefits for sticking with them.
And the importance of having both your home and auto with the same carrier. That's a pretty good discount. And Amanda, I'm going to touch on what you said before, the longevity of staying with a company. You do get certain perks. You do get a credit for staying with the company for a while. And some of them will actually, if you've been with a company for a while, they will actually waive your first loss. So you're not going to get charged for your first loss on your next renewal.
Like an accident forgiveness type program.
Correct.
And I think those are also things that are important to be educating clients on so that they understand that hopping insurance carriers might not be in their best interest, even if it's saving them, you know, $20, it might not be a smart long-term plan.
I think a lot of consumers, when it comes to insurance, just kind of put their hands up because there's a lot of terminology. There's a lot. The insurance policies are not always the most straightforward things in the world. So I think a lot of consumers just not necessarily shut down when you start talking about insurance, but it can get very confusing very fast. So a lot of individuals don't know that there are benefits to sticking with a carrier long term. Just even though you might their policies might be going up minimal year over year, well, even if you go to another company, you might save that $30, $20, but you're going to start from ground zero. A lot of people don't
Correct.
Know that. And I think that's really fascinating that a lot of insurance agents haven't taken the time to educate their clients on this, because that's how you obtain long-term clients.
Correct. And if you have a client that wants to be shopped around every renewal, when you shop around, another insurance company is going to see, they run reports, they're going to see how long you've been with your current company. And if you haven't been with your current company for a year or just a little over a year, you're not going to get the best rate with that new company.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, I learn something new every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because the new insurance company is going to look, well, they're only going to stay with us for a year. And then they're going to move on. So they do run, besides, you know, home and auto and MVR reports, they also run your insurance reports as well.
So again, we come back to educating clients. And personally, because this is a big part of my job at Conklin Insurance Agency, I find some of the best ways to do that is long form content on your website, which is going to help with your SEO, which we all love. But also taking the time to meet with your clients in person and hearing out what their pain points are and being able to address those pain points with these answers and this education is so important.
And not only, I think a lot of research is not only being done just on Google, but also on YouTube. So if agents aren't on YouTube explaining, and honestly, this is something that we do too, is repurposing that long form content that Amanda's talking about, and using that as a script for a YouTube video that can talk through the ins and outs of specific types of coverage. And a lot of people like to learn visually as opposed to reading something. And YouTube is the search engine for video. So if someone is going in and typing in, I want to learn more about my homeowner's policy or a homeowner's policy, an auto policy, there are going to be a number of videos that are going to be walking through things that you should be looking out for on these different policies. You should be on there. Agents should be on there educating their clients. You can also use that and send it out to your new clients. Hey, by the way, here's a video just talking through the homeowner's policy that you just signed. So video is also a really important tool for education that a lot of independent agents are not currently tapping into.
Podcasting is also a very popular way to educate clients. Having a little, you know, it doesn't have to be long. Ours, we aim for about 20 minutes, but there are podcasts out there that are little short, little snippets that are maybe 5-10 minutes long that are just like, hey, did you know about this? And people subscribe to them. You put out a new one and they listen to it real quick. And now they know something maybe they didn't know. And like I said, an educated client is a better client.
Absolutely.
Especially with the millennials and Gen Zs, they all listen to podcasts and they're always on their computers or their smartphones. So it's a good way to reach out to them.
Millennials and Gen Zs also like to do research ahead of time before working with someone. I know that because I do that frequently. And listening to a podcast, watching a video, checking out a blog post is a good way to really determine if someone knows their stuff. So start developing content and show people that you know your stuff.
All right, Tammy, was there anything else you want to throw out there? Any points that maybe we didn't get to that you think people should know about?
Nope. Just educate your clients and your prospects and explain the importance of having coverages and adequate liability limits. Educate. Cannot say that enough.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to sit with us today, Tammy. I know you're super busy with all of the personal lines Access Plus that comes in through Chicagoland, and that should take us to just about our 20-minute mark, which, as I said before, is our goal. So I'm going to say see everyone next month.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see everyone at our spring meeting next month.
Oh, good point. We do have our spring meeting coming up on May 16th. Reach out to anyone at Chicagoland and they should be able to give you some information on that. All right. Goodbye, everyone.